who will be able to teach others. So what you have heard from me through many witnesses, pass on to faithful people who will be able to teach others. And this talked about the passing on of what Paul called kind of right belief. And in that, there's not, it's not just agreeing mentally with a set of tenets, a set of ideas. This also meant practice, a set of practices that Timothy had witnessed from the people that Paul impacted. Okay? And in the formal church, there are two words to make this up. Orthodoxy, which you probably have heard, which is right belief, and orthopraxy, which you may not have heard, which is right action. Right belief, right action. And so he said he wanted Timothy to pass on this right belief and right practice so that it would become multiplied, it would become viral, that it wouldn't just grow by addition, but that we would be able to teach others who would teach others. We want to spend most of our time discipling people who will also disciple people. And sometimes in the church we might get stuck. And this isn't a slight on anyone. It's not a slight on where they are spiritually. But some of us aren't ready, or don't believe. We don't know that we're ready to teach others. We don't know that we're ready to disciple someone else. And so Paul's wanting Timothy to spend most of his time with people who will teach someone else so that we can grow by multiplication, not addition. So it's about communicating the right belief and the right action, right? Well, today we're going to jump back into the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And I thought I wrote the verse down. I believe it's 12. No, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. But the essence of it, while you find that, the essence of the verse today is, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. Okay? Anybody know that hymn? It's one we sing regularly in DeKalb. It talks about all the things that we may not know, all the things that are left mysterious to us, but we know who we have believed in, or if I'm going to say that grammatically correctly, we know whom in which we have trusted or believed. This week, we got our mower back. Our mower, our riding mower, has been down for, I think, 6 weeks. It was down, and then it was in the shop, and then we were waiting for parts, and it just took a lot of time. And in the meanwhile, we had all that rain the past few weeks. Do you remember that? We had lots of rain, lots of sun, which meant the grass, which had been very slow growing before then, the minute the mower goes out, it starts growing like crazy, and I'm not able to keep up with it. We had to call someone to have him come and mow the lawn for us. And yesterday, I got to mow again for the first time in many, many weeks. And what I remembered about the time that my mower was down was a feeling of embarrassment, right? Because we live on a very busy street. And lots of people go by and they see how tall the grass is getting. That's hard for me because I love mowing the grass. I love keeping a nice clean lawn. So it was very hard for me to get through that. And you could say I felt a bit of shame about that. Much in a similar way to the fact that I loaned my truck to a friend, and he noticed that the oil was very low. And when he said, you need to be careful. You need to fill that up. This could ruin your engine. And I felt a little shame. Like, I should be checking this. This is something that I could be doing. I need to be maintaining the mower. I need to be maintaining my truck. And when I don't maintain, I get a sense of shame about that. But when all things are functioning properly, suddenly I feel very capable. And it was a great feeling yesterday, getting on the mower, starting it up, and it started right away. And I took it around mowing, and the blades were level, and they were cutting so nice. I'm telling you, the feeling was great. And suddenly, I felt capable to not only keep a well-kept lawn, but I also felt more able to do other things in my life. When things are well-maintained, we realize that we're more capable than we believe. When things are operating as they should, when we take time to maintenance, what does that have to do? What, there's my alarm again. I apologize. Boy, I got to stay on task, so that's why I have so many alarms. So this is what we have here. Paul, we talked about last week that Paul was talking about right belief, right action, and yet Paul isn't talking about belief or he's not talking about ideas here, is he? And he uses the word doctrine, but he's not talking about a set of beliefs. He doesn't say, I know my doctrine and I have assurance in my doctrine. He doesn't say, I know what I believe. He says, I know whom I believe. That's curious, isn't it? He's talking about right doctrine, and then he says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep all that which I have entrusted to him against that day. There's that word again, entrusted. We talked about it last week, remember? To put your trust in, to find someone who can faithfully carry out the task that you give them. Someone who is a help, someone who can creatively take this task into the next phase, who can take what your plan was and make it better. Well, Paul says that he knows who he believes in, and he knows he has been convinced that he's able to keep it. But let's back up, because that's verse 13. Let's back up to verse 9. And what 9 essentially says is, God has saved us and called us to a holy life. That's where this little section begins. God has saved us and has called us to a holy life. And he goes on, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Verse 10, it says that Christ Jesus destroyed death and has brought life and immortality through the gospel. Of this gospel, Paul says, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And I'm not ashamed, verse 13, because I know whom I have believed. Okay, that's a lot. There is salvation. There is the calling to a holy life. There is the end of death and renewed life. And then there is, and that is only possible through this good news, of which Paul has become a herald, apostle, and teacher. And all of that is reliant upon whom he has believed. Last week, we left this we left this teaching in a weird place, and I did that on purpose. And last week we were talking about passing on, entrusting the method, the right teaching, the right action on to others. In short, we were talking about discipling others, right? Discipling others. And I said at the very end that all of this is contingent upon one thing that we didn't have time to get into. Well, now we're digging into that today. We can sum up 9 through 13 by saying, be discipled. If you are being discipled, all of this will become a cyclical pattern that will be repeated to be continued in your life. Salvation, a calling to a holy life, the end of death and the beginning of new life, through the gospel of which we have become herald, apostle, and teacher. And we are not ashamed of this because we know in whom we have believed, and we are so persuaded that he's able to keep it. Why does he say that? Well, something really curious happens when we dig into the Greek. Salvation. We in the church, we teach that salvation happens because not because of anything that we have done or could do. We believe that Christ saved us because of his grace, because of his love, because of the plan of the Father. He has saved us. It was nothing that we could do for ourselves, not now, not ever. There's no accumulation of right action that we can perform that would save ourselves. We believe that it has already been done for us. In fact, that was the mark of Abraham. Abraham was faithful because he just entered into what God was already setting up for him. A calling to a holy life. This is definitely not of us because this says it is a calling. We don't call ourselves. This is an ask, a calling, because God has a higher view of humanity than we do. We tend to downgrade our own view of the things of which we're capable. We tend to have a low view of humanity. Well, I'll never overcome that. I'll never get past this. I'll always be that. But Jesus has a higher view of humanity, and he sees hope where we don't see hope. And he calls us to something greater. This is the calling to a holy life. And we talked a little bit about it this morning in small groups. And then the gift of faith. This is a great word. Where Paul says, and I am persuaded that he is able. Persuaded is the Greek word, is from the root Greek word pistis, which means faith. Now, faith is very curious, this word. In the Gospels, when Jesus healed someone, what is one thing that he often said after he healed someone? Anybody want to venture a guess? Go and tell somebody. Oh, that's cool. You're jumping ahead of my sermon. That was really good. What's another thing he would often say? Your faith has made you well, right? Or yes, made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. What Jesus is not doing here is giving them credit for the healing. That's not what's happening. He isn't saying, well, because of your faith, because faith, this word pistis, is always, always received. It never begins with the person who possesses it. Anytime the word faith is used in Scripture, when someone possesses faith, it is not of their creation. Faith is not something that we can generate. It is always something that we receive from God. And this phrase, I am persuaded, is another way to say that. What happens when you're persuaded? It means you've seen enough to come to a decision about something, right? That's not of you. You didn't create it. You didn't start it. You didn't write it. You have witnessed something that has allowed you to come to a point of decision about it. Faith is always received. We are persuaded. And that's why faith is not evidence. Faith is not certainty. Faith is being persuaded. We have seen enough to believe. We have seen enough to orient the rest of our life around what Jesus teaches. We have seen just enough to put action into our belief. But as I said before, the theme of these two sermons is to be continued. To be continued. And these things are to be continued in our life. And the only way that takes place is if we are being discipled. Now, all of us, if you're growing in your faith, you are being discipled by someone. But the question is, how formal is that arrangement? Have you had a conversation with someone? Have reached an agreement where you watch them as they follow Christ? See, all of us, when we read scripture, when we pray, when we sing these songs, all of us are being discipled by Jesus. But we also need to be discipled by a disciple of Jesus. Because this person is putting faith into action, and we need that in our life. So we're all being discipled to some degree, but how formal is that? How regular is that? And so if these things are going to be continued, salvation, a calling to a holy life, the gift of faith, and our appointment as herald, apostle, and teacher, if these things are going to be continued, it's because of discipleship, us being discipled by someone. So to bring last week and this week co-concurrent, is to say that we will not be able to disciple others if we are not being discipled. But for a moment, let's dig in to these individual items. Salvation. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to both will and to work for his good pleasure." That's about three sermons right there, at least. There is so much there, and I'm just going to say it one more time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will or desire and to work for his good pleasure. God does it all. It's him who is at work. He's the one that even generates our desire to follow him. He's not only the author of our faith, but he actually creates the desire to be with him in us. And he also causes us to do the work that will please him. So salvation is something that needs to be continued in our life. Salvation is something that we talk a lot about conditional, unconditional in the church, don't we? Because we talk about God's love being unconditional. But the relationship that we have with him is entirely conditional, but not on his part, on ours. See, God has always said, I want to be with you. I want to live among you. That is the message all the way from Genesis through Exodus, all the way through Scripture. God has overstated his desire to be with us. But the relationship is always conditional. He says, if you will be my people, I will be your God. Those were the words spoken in Mount Sinai. If you will be my people, I will be your God, and I will create in you a nation of priests. And the priest shows the people what God looks like. So salvation is something that if it is not maintained, if we do not allow God to maintain it, you know, it's conditional. If I don't maintain the level of oil in my truck, it could seize the engine, and I would have to spend $1,300 on a new block engine or get a new truck because it's not worth $1,300. But when I don't maintain, that's when I feel shamed. And this is the other thing that Paul talks a lot about in chapters 1 and 2 of his letter to Timothy. There is no need to feel shame because Jesus nurtures our relationship with him. He has already done it all. And I'm going to move on here because our time is getting limited. So this calling to a holy life is to be continued. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 through 24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Our pursuit of a holy life is not contingent upon us. The more we talked about yielding and surrender this morning, surrendering, the more we surrender, the more Jesus will do his work of perfection in our life. And once again, by perfection, we do not mean without flaw, without error. Perfection means that we're able to fulfill the task for which we've been created. But there again, God does it all for us. May the God of peace himself sanctify you. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And the gift of faith, pistis, to be persuaded. It's something outside of ourselves. It's something that we have seen enough of to decide. It's something that we witness and experience. Faith is an experience. Our appointment, Paul goes on, our appointment as herald, apostle, and teacher of the gospel is to be continued in our life. Now, the only way, after digging into this, salvation, the pursuit of holiness, the gift of faith, and our job as herald, apostle, and teacher of this good news, we begin to sense that this isn't going to be possible if we're not being discipled by someone. This isn't possible if we don't have someone pouring into our life, someone that we trust, someone whose words and actions line up with Scripture. Without being discipled, there is no discipling others. And that's really all I have today. Because the rest of this is conditional. It depends on what we do with this after. And we talk in DeKalb Nazarene, we talk every week about the things that make this hard. And so what's going to make this challenging for us this week as we live this out? I think one of the first things that comes to mind when we talk about what makes being discipled difficult is opening yourself up. Finding someone that you can trust with your life. Finding someone whose life really lines up with how Jesus lived, that is difficult. But then again, there's another part of this that it's not so much contingent on them and finding a person that you can trust. It's really about, because I would say there's probably a lot of people you can trust. There's probably a lot of people, even in this room, that you can trust to disciple you. But how much are we afraid to open ourselves up and trust that person? The other thing that makes us difficult, or that we might be tempted to think makes us difficult, is I have too much going on in my life. There's just so much happening in my life. I really don't have an hour to spend with someone every single week. And to that, I would ask, how many times do you eat a week? At least, maybe two, at least two times a day, hopefully. Every day, 7 days, it's 14 times. Can you give one of those meal times to someone else to be discipled by that person? When we really begin to examine and tear away our preconceived notions of discipleship, we begin to see the limitless possibilities that lie before us. Once we shed the excuses, once we shed the assumptions about why we can't, possibilities begin opening up, and we begin to realize just how free we are in Christ. Once our faith, once our pursuit of holiness, once our salvation is continuing in our life, we realize we're so much more capable, but not just to keep a clean lawn. We're so much more capable to accomplish tasks all over our life. And if you think you're effective at your level of discipleship, I would challenge you to give an hour of your week every week to being discipled by someone, to reading scripture, and to sharing prayer and confession with another person, and see how effective you are. See how your time gets multiplied. I challenge you in this. The more time you give to accomplishing God's purposes in your life, the more time He opens to you to really accomplish what's truly important. So what are you to do with this? I obviously can't tell you. I don't know who is being discipled. I don't know who isn't. I don't know if you're discipling someone else. I really have no clue. So in light of my ignorance into how your life works, in light of my ignorance of how full your schedule is, would you bow with me in prayer? And let's consult the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for this word, this message that rings with such clarity in our life. We ask you to do a work in us today, to point us to our calendars, to our schedules, point us to the relationships in our life where we have the potential to disciple someone, to pour our life into someone, even just one person for 1 year, so that they can grow in Christ's likeness. And show us a person in our life that we can trust to disciple us. Because this work of salvation, this call to holiness, this role that we have, this gift of faith and this job that you've given us as a herald and an apostle and teacher of this good news, this has to be continued in our life. And not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of others. Because it's not just our life that you're trying to improve. You will create through us a nation of priests who will show the world what God looks like. We trust you, Jesus. We have entrusted ourselves to you. we have received this gift of faith, this gift of salvation. We hear this calling to a holy life, and we want our answer to be yes. But in order for that to take place, we have to come to your throne, and we have to be discipled. We ask that you would, Holy Spirit, point us to another person today, someone in our circle, someone that we know, so that if we are not being formally discipled, we can be. Because these last words of Paul to Timothy, the last thing, this last letter before he was executed, this is the most important stuff to Paul, and it should be the most important stuff to us. What impact are we having on other generations and on other people that we don't even know yet? Would you make this important to us? Would you rearrange our passions so that we can love people the way you love? We praise you, and we pray all of these things in the powerful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Yes. A few announcements today. Next Sunday, Pastor John and Jeanette will continue their vacation. Reverend Renee Escalante, she is a chaplain at St. Anthony's Hospital in Rockford. She will be bringing the morning's message. It says Dixon Trick or Treat on October 27th. That is from 10 to 12 noon. Evidently, Pastor Renee, God bless her, needs some volunteers to run carnival games, to hand out bags of candy and small prizes. She needs bags of candy and small prizes. She needs a dozen canning jars, and we'll provide a list if anybody needs such. 1 4x8 plywood, that says half inch or more. Needs it pretty sturdy, evidently. And it says 1 2x3 plywood, any thickness. So if you can volunteer, please talk to Pastor Renee, and that number would be provided also. It says, we'll be hosting Santa for the Dixon Christmas Walk. For several years now, Living Well has been doing this, had the opportunity to do this, and it's all about Jesus. So as we do this, we bring Jesus to the people again, and we will not open the doors without somebody hearing about Christ in here. So we look forward to doing that. Also, The Well, it is a partnership with KSB, and we do the same things there, too. There's a group prayer and a little message that's given. And that takes place on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5:30 to 6:30. Any questions on that or anyone that wants to help, please see Miss Tracy. She's back there also. Ella has said that the alabaster boxes will be collected at the end of this month. Any questions about that? See our sister Ella. Maybe she didn't want her name mentioned. And also reading books that have been handed out that people read and then bring in to share and pass along. If you're done with those reading books, if you could please get those back to Ella, we'd appreciate it. And clean teams are needed. There's a sign-up sheet in the back on the counter back there. Clean teams are needed for the month of October. So the sign-up sheet's in the back. And see Mr. Mike if you have any questions. He's back there raising a finger, raising his hand. And of course, the setup instructions for the well. Anyone that wants to help with that, we move the metal chairs to the side, bring the chairs forward, roll some tables out. There'll be instruction with that. Just takes a few minutes. If you could stay after this message today and help with that, we'd appreciate it. And it looks like that's about it. Probably tired of listening to me anyway. All right. God bless you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Yep. God bless you. Go in peace. Look at those golden tones.
I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me as I wait
to make me strong as I long. Sell me to your heart as I stand, and I sing your praise. You come and fill this place. Won't you come and God fill this place. Ding, 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 ding. I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me. As I wait, you make me strong as I long. Draw me to your heart as I stand, and I sing your praise. You come, won't you come and fill this place. Won't you come, please God, fill this place. I wait, you make me strong as I long. Draw me to your heart as I stand, and I sing your praise. You come and fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place.